And the last time we were in John's Gospel, we were looking at the tomb. We saw the revelations at the empty tomb. We saw the wondering disciples. We saw Peter and John come in and witnessing what had happened at the tomb. And today we are going to be looking at Mary, the messengers, and the master at the tomb. And the title of today's message, and I don't normally title my messages, I'm not clever enough with catchy titles, but the message this morning is simply called Come and See, Go and Tell. Come and See, Go and Tell. And in John chapter 20 and verse 11 it says, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. Thank you for the precious word of God, for the opportunity to open it, to preach from it, and to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Father, we have an incredible relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship that has been reconciled to a holy God because of all that Christ did upon the cross. We have an incredible responsibility with the Holy Spirit working through us today to tell a lost and dying world about the Savior. And Father, I pray that today we too would come and see all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We know that we who are saved have experienced that salvation firsthand, but Father, help us now to go and tell others that incredible gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be the believers we need to be in this day and age in which we live, that we might be able to share the hope of the gospel with those that are living in a hopeless world. Father, we pray and ask these things now in Christ's name. Amen. So the first thing we see then is Mary at the tomb. And John just recounts this incredible and unforgettable experience that Mary had. In verse 11, we see Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. The word for weep here is kleo, and it means the same word that is used of Mary of Bethany when she went out to meet Jesus after Lazarus had died. It literally means to wail unconsolably, to be absolutely heartbroken. Peter and John have been at the tomb, and Peter and John have come and gone, and yet Mary stays behind. Why? Why did she stay? Why was she there to weep and mourn the loss of her Lord? Was it because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ more? I don't know. The Bible tells us what Mary had been saved from. She had been saved from a life of deep and dreadful sin. Mark 16 and verse 9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he had done for her in his life. She was devoted to him. She was a changed woman. She stood outside the sepulchre and did exactly what John had done. She stooped down to look inside. She wanted to see for herself. The word to stoop down is the same word used of John earlier, implying that she wanted to see clearly what was going on. How incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ, even when he spoke to the first disciples, when they asked about his dwelling place, said, come and see. You know, the tomb was open not to let the Lord Jesus Christ out. The tomb was open so that the world could see that it was empty. The world could see that this is a risen Savior. The world could see that this wasn't some dead religious figure of the past. The world could see that Christ is real. And what he said came to pass, that he would die upon the cross for the sins of the world, that he would be buried and remain in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and that on the third day he would rise again, victoriously conquering death, hell, and the grave, so that the Christian could live forevermore. The tomb is open. Come and see. Mary there is stooping inside, investigating what has gone on, and her eyes are focused upon the physical evidence. But at this moment in time, she's missed the spiritual reality. All she saw was an empty tomb. It never entered her mind that the Lord Jesus Christ could actually be alive. She wanted to know where his body was. She wanted to know who took the body. She wanted to know where they had laid him. If they'd stolen the body, why would they do something like that? How incredible to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. And he's alive today. We don't pray to some dead God. We don't pray to some inanimate object. I serve a risen Savior. That's whom I serve. He's a risen Savior, and he's alive today. If Christ was dead, we would have no hope. That's what Paul said. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we'd have all men most miserable. If Christ had not risen from the dead, we would have no hope. If Christ wasn't alive today, there would be no strength in the believer. If Christ was not alive, then everything that we believe is absolutely pointless. Mary saw the physical evidence, but at this moment missed the spiritual reality. And then we see the messengers at the tomb. In verse 12, she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. We see their presence. The Lord's resurrection was an event of such significance that the annals of the universe, that the presence of these mighty beings was required. And you remember that, how the host of heaven was waiting for the Lord to just give them that signal so that they could come down and stop what was being done to him upon the cross of Calvary. There were legions of angels at the Lord's disposal just waiting for that signal. And he never came. Because the Lord's purpose was to die upon the cross for us. But now he's risen. How incredible that these mighty beings were required to share this message. The world should have been there. The world should have been there with homage. Caesar should have come from Rome. The wise men of Athens should have been there. Caiaphas and Annas and the Sanhedrin should have been there. People from the far-flung Jewish diaspora should have been there. Herod and his men of war should have been there. Pilate and his wife should have been there. The disciples above all should have been there, all eager, awaiting that stone to roll away, counting down the seconds as the days ticked on, knowing that the Lord would arise. There was no one there. All Jerusalem should have been arriving with triumphant palms and psalms and singing and praising. But the world stayed away. But the shining ones from glory were there. There were two angels at the tomb. Two being the number of witness. These angels have been dispatched from God to bear witness to the truth that Christ is alive. This is a message of absolute hope. The angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know ye seek Jesus whom was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see. How incredible that their posture is one of sitting. Sitting, it just speaks of absolute peace. If you are panicked about something, it's hard to just sit down. The amount of times Joe has said to me in past, just sit down and relax. Sit down. But when we're worried about something, we tend to pace. We tend to get up and you feel like you've got to do something. You can't just sit. Sitting just speaks of peace. How incredible. If there had been any trouble at the tomb, if people had come in and stolen the body, I can promise you this, the angels wouldn't have been sat there sitting down. There would have been absolute pandemonium. It was as if Mary looks into the tomb, the angels are sat down, and the angels just say, come and have a look, all is well. And then we see their picture. Their picture is one of absolute rest. The angels tell Mary that Christ's work is over. We can all rest now. Every other time an angel is pictured in the Bible, they are busy. They're doing something. They are shown carrying messages. They are shown dispatching enemy armies. They're shown attending to the business of God. And now suddenly, even they are at rest. And what a message for us today, for those who are saved this morning. We have rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are lost, there's still that busyness of maybe trying to work out their own salvation, to work out their position in life, to work out the problems of life. But for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's perfect rest. We might not always feel that way, but that's what's available to us. Absolute rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How incredible to be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ in these times of difficulties. When we feel like we can't face another tomorrow, when we feel like we can't go through another lockdown, when we feel like this is just getting too much and too overbearing, it's as if the Lord says to us, you're still yoked up to me. You know, my burdens are that I can carry you through this burden. I can get you through these difficulties. I can get you through these dark days. Why? Because I've given you my rest. There's no need for you to pace back and forth. There's no need for you to stress out. There's no need for you to be uptight and worked out. I can give you my rest. They say unto her in verse 13, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. It's almost as if the angels want to stir something up in Mary's heart. Just ask the question, what are you looking for? Should you be weeping? Well, why are you crying? If the Lord said he would rise again, then why are you crying that his body's gone? This is not a picture of defeat. This is not a picture of discouragement. This is not a picture of despair. This is a picture of the fact that Christ was true to his word. This was a picture of the fact that Christ is indeed God. Christ said that he would die. Christ said that he would be in the grave. Christ said that he would rise again. So why are you weeping? Mary, like so many of us, seems determined to live by sight rather than by faith. How many of you are a glass half empty type of person? You might have to wear a mask in church, but that doesn't mean your hands have got to remain by your side. I'm useless. Sometimes I just see the worst in everything. Oh, I said, you can't do that. That's the end of it. And we do it. Sometimes we're like that in our Christian lives. We're defeated before we even take the first step. We wake up in the morning, we're like, do you know what? Yeah, I'm just gonna accept defeat today. And we haven't even got out of bed yet. Mary's living by sight and not by faith. And it's as if the angels are just simply trying to stir it up, trying to get her to realize actually what is going on. They made no attempt to dispel her confusion. But then she didn't give them the opportunity. She turned herself, verse 14, and left the tomb. And then we see the master at the tomb. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. In her weeping, she realizes that she's not alone at the tomb. She sees a man standing near her but doesn't recognize that it is the Lord. And she just continues with her weeping. Isn't that like us sometimes? Christ has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Christ has promised to be with us even unto the end of the world. And yet sometimes in our own distress and in our own despair, we are weeping, whether physically or from a spiritual point of view, and we fail to recognize that Christ's presence is right there. Mary, in all of her grief, is not aware that the Lord Jesus Christ is right there. She's not aware of who he is. And she continues weeping. How many times do we fail to see the Lord in our circumstances? He's always, always active in our lives. Why? Because he's promised to never leave us. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So there's never a time in our lives where God's presence is not with us. Now, maybe if we're not feeling the presence of the Lord, perhaps the problem's with us. Because it's certainly not with him. I wonder if, from a spiritual point of view, if things would be better if we would simply look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He went through all of this. He endured the suffering of the cross so that we could have that restored relationship with God, so that we could have that fellowship with him, so that we could have that promise that he'd always be with us throughout everything that we face. Jesus asks Mary two questions. And remember, the Lord never just says anything for the sake of it. You know, the amount of times that I'm hopeless with starting conversations. I am useless. And believe it or not, I am really bad. How the Lord called me into ministry, I'll never know. Because I don't do well in new situations. I don't do well with new people. That's why God gave me Joe. Because it's like, Joe is my ear and she's my mouthpiece. So just kind of push her forward. I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm of a slow tongue. I just kind of push Joe forward because I don't know what to say. And sometimes we just say stupid stuff. There's only so much you can talk about the weather because it's usually wet. Well, the weather's wet, isn't it? But Jesus never says anything for the sake of it. Jesus never says anything to just fill in some lines. Jesus never says anything just to dispel a little bit of awkward silence. Everything he says is so pertinent. And he asks Mary two questions. Why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? Why do you weep when you should be rejoicing? He addresses her in the same way the angels did. Woman, why weepest thou? Those tears and sobs that touched his heart with the angels, perhaps it was a matter of academic interest, this mortal weeping. But the Lord Jesus Christ had a human heart. He loved this woman. He knew the price and toll of her tears. How incredible that the Lord sometimes will come alongside us and ask us a question. Maybe we'll be reading a passage of scripture and it's as if the Lord, as loud as possible, says, child, why are you doing that? Why are you feeling like that? Why are you acting like that? Why are you doing this? When the Lord asks us a question, can I say this? We better pay attention. Because he doesn't ask a question for no reason whatsoever. It's not a rhetorical one. Then he's asked another question. Whom seekest thou? Who do you look for? These questions were designed to remind Mary who Jesus was. Why do you look for he who is alive amongst those who are dead? Christ is reminding Mary that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He was reminding her that he was the Prince of Life, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, about the fact that they killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. He was telling Mary that he was the one who laid down his life and took it back up again. In John 10, 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command have I received of my Father. He was telling Mary that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Christ, but he is the life. How can he be the life if he was to remain dead? It's interesting to see that Mary, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. How incredible this conversation takes place in an area that just symbolizes death. It takes place in the graveyard, as it were. And yet Christ is the resurrection and the life. This area is a place of death, but the Savior is life. I'm thankful that Christ has conquered the grave, that there is no sting in death, that there is no victory in the grave. Because God has given us the victory. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Where are we looking today? Mary was looking at the tomb and Christ was right there. She should have been looking at the Savior. But it's the same thing for us today. We look at our circumstances and we forget the Savior. We look at our issues and we forget about the one who gave his life for us. We look at our problems and our difficulties and our woes and our worries and we forget about worshiping the one who gave it all for us. Where do we look in today? Are we still looking at the tomb? Are we looking at, if you like, those dead things that can't help? Or are our eyes fixed firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Where do we look today? Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When Mary doesn't respond to the Lord's questions, you know, the Lord has said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Woman, whom seekest thou? She didn't answer those questions. She didn't say, well, I'm weeping because. She didn't answer those questions and say, well, actually, I'm looking for. She said, where have you taken him? If you've borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him and I will take him away. She didn't answer the questions the Lord asked her. But the Lord knows how to get her attention. Can I say this? When we ignore the Lord time and time and time again, the Lord knows how to get our attention. And if he wants to get our attention, he'll get it one way or another. When Mary doesn't respond, he simply calls her tenderly by name and says, Mary. Mary. This isn't the voice of the Creator calling the creature. This isn't the voice of the Master calling the servant. This is simply the shepherd calling out to the struggling sheep. His call is the seal of redemption. John 10:3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. His call is instantly recognized by the sheep. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. One word from the great shepherd, and the weeper is transformed into the worshiper. Can I say that is what we need today? There's a lot of weeping going on today. We are at the end of our tether. Let's be honest about it. We're stressed out. Why is it that this lockdown feels worse than the ones we had in the summer? It might have something to do with the weather, but it just feels different. It feels harder. And maybe this time we've been more like weeping Christians than worshipping Christians. You know, we kind of, British stiff upper lip as they were in the last lockdown. Oh, we'll get through this. And, you know, when we come out the other side and, we've had chance to read our Bibles and to, you know, to just spend some time with those who are at home. And, yeah, after the year, the novelty's wearing off now, isn't it? Not for us, obviously. And I'll have to go back to university. Great. Eve is over the moon. Free food now for the next however long. Typical student. But we're struggling this time. More than last time. So what does it take to turn us from weeping Christians into worshipping Christians? The first thing it'll take is for us to just hear the Savior's voice. That's it. You know, the voice of that still small voice can be so crowded out by the noise of the world. And all we need to listen for is for the Lord to come alongside us and to say our name gently. And you can put your own name there instead of Mary's name. And he just says, child. How incredible to hear his voice. Mary immediately calls him Master. She responds to his voice by affirming her love and devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our response. You know, when we're in the midst of difficulty, when we're in the midst of trial, when we're in the midst of turmoil, when we're in the midst of all of this trouble that's going on, just to hear the Savior's voice. But you might say, well, I haven't heard his voice. It might be because we're not spending enough time in his word to hear him say our name. That's why it's imperative that we spend our time in the word of God, so that we can hear him call out our name. So he can turn us from a weeping Christian, from a weak Christian, into a worshiping Christian, into a warrior Christian. Because that's what's needed today. Our world is in a mess. You only need to look at what's going on, not just in our country, but all over the world, not just with the pandemic, but with political forces. You see what's going on in the world with polarized views. You cannot today have an opinion. You can't. Unless your opinion lines up with what the narrative is that they want you to be on board with. If you have an opinion other than that, you are part of the problem. And you see that more so in the world today. Let me tell you something. Nobody is ever going to agree with everything. It's not. When there were just two people on the planet, they couldn't agree with one another. Because if they could, they'd still be in the Garden of Eden. The world is in a mess. I know Christian is probably cowering down in his bunker, weeping. Because of what's going on. It's time to be worshiping. Oh yeah, but this world, you know, it just looks like this world is getting worse and worse. Well, guess what? That means that the Lord's return is getting closer and closer. So instead of looking at the news and getting stressed out, let's look for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Digressing. So we need to be worshipping warrior Christians. Jesus saith unto Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. The Lord asks her not to touch him. Why? Yeah, I've heard some interesting comments on this passage of scripture. One commentator said, the reason that the Lord asked Mary not to touch him because he still had 40 days. He hadn't ascended up to heaven yet, and he had plenty of time, and Mary wasn't to be selfish. That's not the case here. We understand that there was no need to hold on for him because Christ is alive forevermore and available, as it were. But can I say this? We recognize the need and importance of human physical contact now more than ever before. Just to have a touch. So I don't quite buy the, he wasn't to touch him because he's alive forevermore, and that's not the case. Here's the thing. Christ has just risen from the grave. And I can't remember when it was, a couple of years ago, I think I spoke on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, about where or what the Lord had been doing for those 3 days, you know, leading captivity captive, preaching to the spirits in prison. So what is he about to do now? Well, he's been in the grave for 3 days. Now he's about to present an offering to his Father. In Hebrews chapter 9, I put the reference up for you. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 6. I know it's a bit of a longer passage, but Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, that's into the Holy of Holies, only once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which we were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Christ was about to become the ultimate offering before the Heavenly Father. Christ hasn't gone into heaven yet to make that offering. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10, I can put it up here, we see the wave offering. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. On the first day of the week, following the Passover, the priest would take some of the wheat that was growing in the field and he would wave this before the Lord, and it symbolized that this was the first fruits and that there was more to follow. The suggestion has been made that the Lord was about to ascend, and as the first fruits from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:23 says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. So Christ, as the first fruits from the dead, went to his heavenly Father to present himself before the Father. It is possible that this is when why the resurrection of the whole Old Testament saints was recorded by Matthew in Matthew 27 and verse 52. I don't think I've put that up. No. Yeah, I have. Look at me. Matthew 27, verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So it's possible that the Lord ascended to heaven, offered the wave offering before the Lord as the first fruit of what was to follow. And it was then that the Old Testament saints that were resurrected from their graves then went up with the Lord. In fact, everybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will live because he lives. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall live. And that's why we say, if you're born once, you will die twice. If you're only born once, you'll have a physical death. And then in Revelation, we saw death and hell gave up the dead and they were cast into the lake of fire. That was the second death. But if you're born twice, you're born physically and then you're born again, washed in the blood of Christ, you will only die once. You will only die a physical death. And even then, there'll be no sting or victory in it. All who believe in Christ will live again. In verse 18, Mary is told to go and tell the disciples exactly what she seen. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary was to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. Come and see. Go and tell. Could you simply report what you have seen? This is a message of hope. This is a message of blessing to all of those that mourned his death. This was the kind of message that was not delivered every day. The message was in three parts. Jesus is alive. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. We are still commanded to come and see and go and tell. The world needs this message today more than ever. Then the world needs to hear the Savior that we about the Savior that we serve. All who come to the tomb and see, all who will place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved from their sins. Can I say to all those listening today who are lost, come and see. See for yourself. Don't take my word from it, and it's not my word. I've got a testimony because Christ has changed my life. But don't just take my word for it. Come and see for yourself. Search the scriptures. See what the Lord says about what sin is and what it does and the consequences of it. None of us can escape it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come and see. Come and see how much Christ loves you. Come and see what Christ did for you so that your sins could be forgiven. Come and see the price that he paid. Come and see what he's doing for you right now today. And accept him as your Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Believe that he died on the cross. Call out to him as your Savior. If you've done that, then go and tell. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. How incredible that Mary Magdalene, a woman, a sinful woman, with a really sordid past, was the first to see the risen Christ, was the first to hear his voice, the first to be commissioned by him, the first to tell the glad tidings to others. I don't know what everybody's background is. I don't know those listening online. I don't know what your whole story is. But maybe we fail to respond to the Lord's commission because we feel unworthy. That it's not for us, that somebody better equipped could do it. But we've all been told to come and see, go and tell. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you were commissioned to proclaim the gospel message. In the 6,000 years of recorded human history, this is the most important message that has ever been heard. He's not here. He is risen. Can I ask you if you know the risen Savior today? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know if he were to die right now that you would spend an eternity in heaven? If you don't, then you need to come and see. If you are saved, then the second part is for you. We need to go and tell. We need to tell a world that is lost in sin that the only hope is not our politicians, it's not a vaccine, it's not the end of lockdown, even though we want lockdown to end. Our hope is in the resurrected Savior. Let's not miss his presence today. Let's not weep when he's standing right next to us. Let's be turned from a weeping Christian to a worshiping Christian. Let's just go and tell all that he's done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning, for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone listening to this message today that has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, would today be the day that they call upon his name? Would today be the day that they recognize their need, that they recognize their sin, and that the only hope is for that sin to be dealt with by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that somebody today might call upon his name. And then, Lord, there may be some here this morning that struggle with the various difficulties in their lives. We are weeping Christians. We are living by sight and not by faith. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us to respond to the questions that you ask us. And help us then apply this word to our lives that we might go and tell others about our incredible Savior. Help us to go and tell today that the lost world might hear that Christ is risen. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the Musgroves to come now and they're going to sing our last hymn this morning. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that yes, you did conquer the grave, and you have overcome all things for the sake of us, for who we are, even though we're so undeserving. Help us, Lord, just to be mindful of that and to go and tell, come and see for ourselves, and go and tell the world all about you and what you've done for not just us, but for them. Bless and keep us, I pray, this week, and till we meet again. Amen.